Welcome to Feed Your Wild, an immersive journey to help you remember your own medicine and awaken your intuitive healing gifts. I'm Vanessa Rodriguez, and join us for heart-centered, real conversations exploring intuition and spirituality, health and wellness, astrology, herbalism, and nature-based practices that will transform your health and life. Our mission is to inspire, empower you, and help you expand your spiritual and intuitive connection to its fullest expression so that we can build a more beautiful world together. Get ready to feed all parts of your wild self. Aquarius, Aquarius. Okay, you know that song is on everybody's mind, well, at least the astro heads who are tuned into every single astrologer who is talking about Pluto entering Aquarius on January 20th. It happened, and it is probably one of the most pivotal and paradigm-shifting transits of our lifetime. Yeah, no biggie. This launches us into a 20-year Ouroboros death and rebirth cycle. And while Pluto is going to come back into Capricorn to scrub the very last bits of the old paradigm, then it's going to move back into Aquarius in November for good, at least for the next two decades. So it's a big deal. And what does this have to do with? Well, if you've been in tune with my previous podcast, then you've heard me talk about it, and you've probably also heard about it from every other astrologer that is out there talking about it. But this is truly a shift in the frequency of our collective experience. And this is an initiation, I feel, like this shamanic initiation on a collective level for humans into this higher octave. It takes 248 years to turn around the sun, to cycle around the sun. And so it's pretty slow moving, but it really has a lot to do with, well, transformation and looking at our shadows and really digging up excavation to bring to light what needs to be healed and released and transformed. So we're moving out of Capricorn, really connected to the old structures, paradigm, capitalism, you know, paternalistic patriarchy, that kind of stuff. So the shadow side of Capricorn, you know, I love me some Capricorn energy in terms of structure and commitment and fortitude and all that beautiful stuff that Capricorn brings. But what we see with Pluto is the shadow side of things. And yeah, things are going to change in a really big way. And moving into Aquarius, you know, we're going to have this period of composting. Like, it's not like all of a sudden we're in the age of Aquarius, everything is la-di-da, and we have collective healing. No, of course, we are going to experience the reverberation of the old order dying. And at the same time, we're going to experience regeneration and the planting of new seeds with Aquarius. So when we saw Capricorn, the Pluto's transit through Capricorn in 2008, I talked about this. This is the Great Recession. Millions and millions of jobs were lost, at least in the United States. I know that. There was the disastrous bubble crash of the housing bubble. It was like almost 20 trillion, like in the teens, trillions of dollars, US dollars and household net worth lost as the bubble crashed. Yeah, the bubble popped. I know that I saw that effect and I had to deal with that on a personal level financially for the subsequent 10, 15 years. And we also see so many people who, like, lives were literally destroyed by it. So there you go, Pluto. So it's a big deal. And when we see, like, all of these shadow sides and major corporations of everything, right? I mean, even I'm in the United States, so I talk about the United States. United States is a corporation. It's run like a company. And this is how our world is really working. And we have such disparity. It's not conspiracy. It's reality. It's the state of the world. And Pluto's like, let's see about this. We're going to shift some things. So Pluto to Aquarius is, to me, I'm vibing on this revolution energy. 248 years ago, we saw Pluto in Aquarius. We saw the French Revolution. We saw the Haitian Revolution. We saw the American Revolution. So this is revolutionary energy. And it's probably not going to look pretty, but I think that there's going to be, this time especially, it's going to look super different. We're 250 years later. So we have technology, we have globalization and interconnectivity that we hadn't had ever in the history of humans, at least through technology like this. And there's also creation of parallel systems and alternative modalities of all areas and things related to health and wellness, to food and technology, to finances. We're looking at the digitization of finances and decentralization of a whole bunch of stuff. So the people are uprising. We also have a Pluto Kazemi. So this is when Pluto and the sun come together. The sun conjuncts with Pluto. So a Kazemi is always really fun and juicy, and it's like the heart of the sun. That's what Kazemi is. Not only do we have this big shift of Pluto moving into Aquarius, but then we also have Aquarius and this Kazemi happening, Aquarius season and this Kazemi happening. And it's happening at a couple of different points, just at the end of Capricorn, so the very last degree, which is called the anaretic degree, the 29th degree, which is a critical degree. And this is all about permanent endings and really profound shifts. And as I mentioned, Capricorn being really about mastery and achievement, and climbing that mountain, diving to the deepest parts of the sea, of like the sea goat, and success, also authority with career, very ambitious. So there are those themes and sort of like the structures that are in place on a collective level, like I was talking about with capitalism. And then we move into the 0 degrees of Aquarius, and this is another critical degree. And this particular degree is 0 degrees of any sign. It's almost like coming into this, the depth of the potentiality of that particular sign. It's the void space from which all life springs from. It's fertile. It's both this like dark, but also juicy. I think about womb, right? The womb energy of this particular sign. And here we are in Aquarius. And Aquarius is, we think about our future-oriented people. Aquarius is about awakening and genius, innovation. Also, like through technology, we're probably going to see that happening. Aquarius is also about the collective and collective healing and arising and sort of this rebellious and revolutionary energy. So isn't this interesting? This is really powerful stuff. And so thinking about the energetics of both Pluto and the sun, which feels so on the spectrum, so opposite one another, but really it's not opposite. They're so complementary. The sun is life force, consciousness, that which creates life, joy, vitality, virility, illumination, God, Christ, and all the things that you can imagine at the highest level, right? That is what is beaming through, and the core essence of you, like you, that's what your sun sign. But with Pluto, Pluto is the ruler of the underworld. So that planet of rebirth, of death, Pluto rules Scorpio. So there's this intensity, this desire to go deep and excavation for healing. And when they come together, it's like, I think there's a lot here around supporting the evolution of humanity and through the individual, through you. So really thinking about how is this impacting me? Where is it hitting in my chart? And what does that mean with regards to that particular area of my life? So this feels very much kind of like a mega new moon kind of energy where we can plant seeds and intentions in that particular area related to these themes. So I encourage you to do so. And I feel like this is kind of this cosmic upgrade, like a continuation, but this is one of those like really major upgrades where, you know, you have to set your, you plug your phone in and turn on the Wi-Fi in order for it to like go through this update that's all night long. Like that's what I'm feeling this kind of upgrade is. And of course, moving into new Earth. And there are many different terms for new Earth, depending on what you ascribe to in terms of your beliefs or religion or spirituality. And I've talked about this in some previous episodes, but this shift that we see through the lens of human design that happens in 2027. So 2027, we are on the cusp of this shift in our global cycle. And I feel like this is sort of like the preamble, the beginning of that and getting things revved up. And this next cycle that we're going to be moving into is the cycle and energy of the cross of the sleeping phoenix. So what is this all about? Well, even with just that name, the sleeping phoenix, I mean, I feel like there's that definitely that essence when talking about this Pluto sun, this Kazemi, that energy of the phoenix and yet sleeping. I mean, death, rebirth, the phoenix is reborn through its own ashes, but it's a firebird. And so it's like the perfect symbol for these two energies coming together, and yet it's sleeping. So what is the cross of the sleeping phoenix? This is interesting. As it's described, this cross and this cycle, this shift is moving out of this gate of abundance and into the line of selfishness. So it's leaving behind this tribal age. Like if we were to describe, it's called a tribal age. Tribal being a specific word used in human design. And entering into a very individualistic age. And it's kind of difficult to grasp like what that means and looks like because, well, we're not in it, we're not there, but also because our consciousness is going to shift along with these changes. Like the people that are born now and after 2027 are literally going to have a different consciousness. So it's almost like we can't think about some context, a world that we do not live in yet. It's kind of impossible, but we can imagine. And what I think is really interesting about this is the selfishness piece. It's more connected to that individualistic age, which is actually very Aquarian. Aquarius, yes, is all about the people uprising, the collective and collective healing, but it's also very individualistic. And it's kind of like, yay, the people, but leave me alone, which I have an Aquarius moon. So, which I blame on that for my tendencies that exacerbate my Cancerian nature to be a homebody and to stay in my shell because I so like to just hunker down and by myself sometimes, a lot of times, but I'm all for people. I love people. I love humanity. My part of my mission here and my purpose is to support the collective and support people in their healing journey and to connect them to their purpose and for the greater evolutionary process of humanity. But let me go read my book by myself in my room. So that's the energy of Aquarius, but it's also kind of a little bit of this energy of this next cycle that we're moving in. The time of the sleeping phoenix also represents this cultivation of internal power. Above being empowered by others or like being upheld by systems, or organizational structure. It's more like, no, you are cultivating your individual power and really making sure that it's strong and solid. You have this solid foundation within yourself as an individual. There's also embracing darkness here and the sovereign right to consciousness. So nobody can reign or rule over you. And I think in the previous cycle, which was the cross of planning, which I think is also a really interesting name because it makes sense. Over the past few hundred years, it was this building, this industrial era where there was a lot of planning. It was creation of these systems and structures. And now that there's going to be this crumbling, albeit probably slower process of crumbling of governmental structures and collective laws and these tribal connections, and clearly the veil's dropping. We're already seeing that very clearly. We see that people are beginning already to wake up to their sovereignty, to wake up to the prisons that they've been in, to wake up to, like, how have I existed as a human in a beige cubicle, in a cement cubicle, like not connected to anything that has real life force and in terms of nature. I felt that very much, especially in my early 20s. It was just my spirit literally would come out of me. I would have these out-of-body experiences. I remember this one energy healer being like, girl, you got to learn how to ground. And like, why is your energy and your spirit going out of body? It's hovering above you. And it was because the existence that I was in, I literally was working in a beige cubicle for a period of time in my early 20s in a cement box without any lights. I wasn't really connecting with nature, with trees, with all the beings that I love to speak with now and commune with. And I was being disconnected with my body. And it was like, what am I doing this for? But of course, it wasn't top of mind. It wasn't like fully conscious at that time. It took an awakening process. It took like a big catapulting event in order for me to awaken into that. And then through that and through reconnection with my body, awakening of my own spiritual and intuitive gifts. But again, it's awakening to sovereignty and your right to sovereign consciousness. And through that, looking at like, man, a lot of the shit that's in place is fucked up. And we start to move into, with this cross of the Sleeping Phoenix, we start to move into self-governance, using our intuition to guide us, and self-sufficiency. So it's not surprising me that we're hearing about all these billionaires making massive underground bunkers. They know what's coming. They know. Do you know? We need to prepare ourselves. And I don't like to fearmonger. This is not about fearing the future. This is about taking charge of your life. And so what does it mean to be self-sufficient? Start to look at these aspects within your life. I know that I am, and my family, like, we're always talking about this and wanting to take steps, and you could take small baby steps toward it as long as you're moving toward that. What does that look like for you so that you're not compromising by trading your power, giving your power away for false security? False security or corporate companies or the systems and structures that are, I mean, even thinking about electricity, Wi-Fi, how much of your life and the systems around the globe that rely on Wi-Fi, that rely on electricity, that rely on these power grids. And think about when we start moving into a place where, if the crumbling, it's going to be kind of ugly. This is my sense of things. They're not going to let go so easily. It's going to be like grasping for the very last breath. So what do you do in those moments? Like, all logic out the window. You are in just sheer emergency mode, survival mode, and you will do whatever it takes to survive. Well, that's the same for these structures and corporations and the systems that are in place and a lot of the people and families that are part of this, you know, I don't even like want to call them elite because it's not about elitism. is just like this position of power for so long. They're not letting go without a fight is what I'm saying. And so we just need to be very realistic about your sovereignty and your self-sufficiency levels, because we are living in this false sense of security, which it wasn't that long ago. I mean, I know that even within my own lineage, and I look at just my abuelos, my grandparents living in Puerto Rico, and yeah, that was like colonized. They were living under a colonized state or situation, right? An annexed island. So a lot was taken away from them, but they were living the farm life. They knew how to grow food. They had their animals. They knew how to make shit. They knew how to fix shit. We've lost so much of that, just the basics. So that's a big thing. And I always refer to the episode that I had with Penny Kelly. I changed the title on there because I think that it's more suitable to what we actually talk about. It's episode 169, Shocking Prophecies for Our World and How to Get into Alignment for Future's Sake with Penny Kelly. So I'll link that up below. That's episode 169 if you're interested in tuning into that. Really fascinating book and woman and information. One of the things that's critical right now that was mentioned by Ra, the person that brought forth human design to the world, he insisted with this frequency shift, because this is a frequency shift that we're experiencing as we shift cycles, you're not going to get to the spirit until you connect with your body and you look after your body. Because so much of this shift is happening on a genetic level. It's a mutation. And so it's really, really important. It's critical right now to connect with our body and support our body, look after our body as we go through this mutation, this shift, and it evolves to prepare us for this frequency. A lot of us are kind of experiencing that already. Yeah, and I'll also make sure to link up some YouTube videos that you can watch about 2027 and that coming change into the cross of Sleeping Phoenix if all of that is interesting to you. So I just wanted to hop on here and speak to this time. It's so palpable for me. And it's something that, yeah, again, blame my Aquarius moon, but I feel such a revolutionary spirit coming through. The system is broken. I come from a health background. So I started off as a health coach, a nutritionist, a clinical nutritionist. But really, the beginning was when I was an advocate and supporting my mom through her journey with breast cancer and navigating the realms of the healthcare, well, healthcare in quotes, health disease management system. And it was a shit show. Yeah, there's really well-meaning, amazing, talented, brilliant, beautiful people in this system, working within the system, but the system itself doesn't make sense. It's broken. And it always has been because it's built upon a broken foundation. But you already know that. And if you're a healing practitioner, you work in the healing arts, you know that. And there's a huge missing piece. And this is one that all ancient medical traditions knew and upheld. This is not new stuff that I'm talking about. The fact that we are spiritual beings. Primarily, and we are energetic beings. And there has been a massive denial of this on a large scale. And I now understand that that's actually part of the process. It was part of our process of becoming this individualization, like getting to this point to prepare us and moving away from eras where we were more of like a hive mind. We were more. The consciousness level was not as sovereign and individualistic so that our soul and our spirit can evolve. So I feel like there was a reason for this false, albeit false, disconnection between the material realm, the material reality, and the spiritual reality. Of course, we know that there is no actual real separation, but the way that it's played out in our society, especially over the past several hundred years, was this movement toward separation and compartmentalization of the material versus spiritual. So what happens when we do this on a large scale? It leads to sick societies full of sick people and a sick planet. What are we seeing today? This is the picture of what we're seeing. Nobody can deny that. Nobody. So what's needed in this time? What's needed is a paradigm shift, a revolution. So this is an act of remembrance. This is an ancient future. This is meant to happen. We are meant to be here in this time, and we are meant to move forward and reintegrate, reconnect spirit with the material, the scientific with the spiritual, the seen and unseen, and to bring heart. That's really what's required for healing, is healing of the heart of humanity. And it starts with you. You are here because you know everything I just told you to be true. And you know that you are meant to be different. You are meant to be a disruptor, a change agent, a beacon of light for those who you serve. Now, whether that's in your personal life, your family, loved ones, your community, or if you are a service worker, if you are a healer, in all ways, we are here to be in service to not just ourselves, but to humanity and our collective evolution. And I'm telling you, while that steady daytime job or the pension that's being sort of like held and dangling in front of you like a carrot, that may all be really tempting. And yeah, like totally real talk, it's paying the bills. And it feels like it's the only accessible thing right now. And that's if you have the privilege of having a job and having a pension. So like, let's not even go there. But you know in your heart of hearts that there's no guarantee. There's no guarantee that that's going to be there the next day. And there's something bigger for you. There's something bigger for you in your work, in your life. I speak, the population that I most connect with in my work specifically are the healing practitioners. This is so clear for you. I have so many people who are, quote, conventional healing practitioners, so nurses, doctors, burnt the fuck out, burnt out, overwhelmed, because the system is broken and crumbling and people are turning on it. And then they're not getting paid what they feel is they're getting asked to work more and more. The situation is shifting and changing all the time. There are no guarantees there either. And a lot of the times when you just go along with the conventional framework, you don't actually see people healing. So it's really demoralizing and exhausting. And people are leaving in droves. They're leaving the healthcare system in droves. I'm talking about specialists, doctors, nurses. And what does that mean for our future within that healthcare system? I had channeled in the fall of 2021, I channeled this Akashic record channeling for this podcast, for the collective. And a message came in loud and clear that we each have our revolutionary song, our songs of revolution. And that when we can tune in, we can hear it, we can feel it, and we can allow it to bring us forward in alignment with our truth, with our purpose, with what we are here to do. And I feel so deeply the call for each of us to tap into our intuitive gifts and sing our songs of re-evolution, revolution. This means facing your fears of rejection, facing your fears of failure, facing your fears of fucking up, and saying yes to your path as the new earth intuitive healer you are meant to be. Hey there, I'm interrupting this lovely conversation to bring you a special invitation. If you are a clinician, a practitioner, a healing artist of any level, maybe you're just starting out, or perhaps you're a seasoned practitioner. If you feel that your soul is aching for a change, that something is calling you. You want to go deeper with your medicine. You want to know and expand your intuitive gifts. You know that your calling is to be an intuitive holistic healer, but you're not sure what that means or looks like. Well, I have a special private training where you will learn my 3-part intuitive healing matrix. This is the foundational piece for all holistic healing practices. And it's what has guided my work and so many others. This private training is called How to Create a Transformative Intuitive Healing Practice You Love. And you can get access to this training for free when you apply and are accepted to the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway, aka WIP. This is our high-touch 9-month intuitive healing mentorship and practitioner mastermind. On this journey inside of WIP, you'll be initiated into the Akashic Records, becoming a reader and a practitioner for intuitive connection, experiencing deep self-healing and unparalleled support for your clients and patients. You'll discover your intuitive gifts and break through blocks, limiting beliefs, fears, and programmings that are holding you back. You'll also channel an integrated body of work that synthesizes your innate gifts, experience, and wisdom. The Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway is an initiation. It's your chariot that will carry you into your next level of healing, both personally and in your work. So I invite you to learn more and apply. You can go to wildlyrooted.com/apply. There are no risks or obligations to join after you apply. And if you're accepted, you'll get that private training on how to create a transformative intuitive healing practice you love. Head over to wildlyrooted.com/apply. This is like so deep in my knowing and my mission. Everything that I do is in service to awakening us to this and to supporting you in your own intuitive healing journey and awakening of your intuitive gifts. God, Spirit has guided me to create what I have created as a spoke in a kaleidoscopic wheel of revolutionary activation. And I feel that we all have these spokes to add to this wheel. So the two offerings that I have currently today, I have a fire ceremony for this full moon in Leo. And we haven't even touched on this full moon in Leo yet. I promise we will get there very, very shortly. But I just have to share these two events. And today we are hosting our live full moon in Leo fire ceremony and activation. It's called Lit, Liberate Inner Truth. So join me for sacred heart work and fire ceremony to release the blocks that are preventing you from moving forward into your path of healership. If anything that I just said lit something up within you, I encourage you to join us and the collective field of the folks who are coming in. It's so powerful already, folks coming in from all over the world. So it's going to be lit, no pun intended. It's going to be really, really powerful. And it is donation-based. So while there's a minimum donation of $11, you can pay what your heart desires. And I receive an honor and thank you for any donation that you have to offer us for this ceremony. You can register at wildlyrooted.com/lit, L-I-T. And if you can't make it live, which I highly encourage you do, because we're going to be doing some impromptu Akashic reading for individuals who are there live. But if you can't, please, please just sign up anyway, because we're going to have a replay, and this work goes beyond time space. You will receive and tune into this activation. It will be just as powerful if you tune in, because we are connecting in at spirit level. So spiritually, we're going into this frequency. If you want to call it quantum, it's beyond the time space continuum. So I encourage you to sign up and join us. And that is today, January 25th. And the second thing is, my signature program, the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway. This is my 9-month intuitive healing mentorship and mastermind program. I'm obsessed with this program. It was channeled to me and through me, and we cover so much ground in terms of setting up the foundation for you as an intuitive healer and lighting up your world, your special gifts. So I'm offering a special limited time option of a 3-month option instead of joining for the full 9-month commitment. And this is going away soon. So if you want to learn more about that, all the details are available on the application page. Yes, there's an application, and that's because the folks in this container are literally some of the most beautiful, incredibly brilliant, heart-centered, authentic, powerful, intuitive healers I have ever come across. And it is part of my duty to make sure that this container, this sacred container, is held in the highest order. So making sure we have high caliber people, folks, that means super heart-centered and devoted to their craft, to this work. And you're not here to mess around. You're here to do the work and to shine so that you can step into service. Like, that's who I'm calling in. And you will not be disappointed by the people who are in this container. They're just amazing. So there's an application process for that to make sure that we are a good fit for you and you're a good fit for us. And I'm totally honest and really in integrity when I have this conversation with you, if you have questions and whether or not it is a good fit. You can apply at wildlyrooted.com/apply and learn more about the different options that we have available. We would love to have you join us. These two invitations, these are for the healers and the helpers. So those who are ready to say yes, not just to their higher calling to be of service, but to their whole expanded wild selves, unabridged, gifts tapped in, turned all the way up. So if you hear the call in your heart and stirring in your soul, then join us. Do not delay. Join us. And I would love to hear your song of revolution being played. It is the sweetest sound, believe me. So with all of that as context, let's get into this full moon. So full moons, all about closure, culmination, the illumination of things, and completion of something in the area of your life that this full moon is happening in. So it's happening at 5 degrees of Leo. See where that lands in your chart. Now, of course, Leo is opposite to Aquarius. We are in Aquarius season. We just talked a lot about Aquarius, and there is this dynamic energy that we see with these two signs playing out with this full moon. Leo is heart energy. Leo is all about the heart, the fire of the heart, literally the sign of sovereignty, the king. We've talked about sovereignty, the leadership, leading the leader of your own life and not afraid to step into the spotlight, to take the limelight and to shine your light to others. But the thing about Leo too is that at least the highest expression of Leo, it's not about stepping on other people to get higher and to be on stage and nobody else can be on stage. The highest expression of Leo is all about, no, let's all uprise together. Let's all shine our beauty and our fullness and who we are and how beautiful that is. Those are the lessons of Leo. It's dare to shine. So one of the things that I think is really beautiful in this time and what we're going to be focusing on in our full moon ceremony is heart work, and anything related to heart expansion is going to be really beautiful in this time. And I think also as we enter this era that I just talked about. So heart math meditation can be really supportive. Heart Math Institute, I've mentioned them before, but they are a group that has done so much research as it pertains to the heart, the bioenergetics and electromagnetic fields of the heart energy. Really, really fascinating stuff, but also the power of the heart, not just for regulation, you know, nervous system regulation and health, but also coherence of not just the individual, but the collective. So when we can tap in and tune into each other's heart frequencies and begin a process of regulation, co-regulation, and coherence, then we start vibing together at this higher level, this higher frequency. And you could say that our individual songs of revolution start to harmonize. And it's this beautiful symphony that's in harmony. That's the power. And that frequency commands change and shift for the collective. It spreads out. So it's not just about the individual. This is also the power of groups and prayer. This has been tested. This has been proven that when people come together and pray or intend, meditate together, we see shifts happening. So if there's like a specific intention, we see a change affected. And that can be directly connected to that intention setting and holding of this group. So the work that we're going to be doing in the ceremony together is under this premise as well. But I encourage you to work with others, find other prayer circles, meditation circles, maybe just gather a group of your own friends and loved ones, set intentions together and really hold that together. At the same time, if you can, you could make this like a weekly or a daily practice. It's so powerful, this work, when it comes to frequency work. And the portal is open for us to do this. So highly recommend you check out Heart Math Institute if you want to learn more about that. But they have a meditation or a few different meditations and styles that they recommend based off of what they have studied and measured. Literally, with the tools that are available to them, these effects of these meditations through the heart. So I will link some resources below in the show notes if you're interested in tuning into that. There is a grand cross, what's called a fixed grand cross between the sun, which is in Aquarius, the moon, which is in Leo, of course, Jupiter, which is in Taurus, and Haumea, which is one of the strongest archetypes of New Earth. This is a dwarf planet. So these are planets that are Kuiper Belt planets. They're further out, but there's more and more work and understanding about them. I recommend if you want to dive more into that. I've learned a lot from Pam Gregory and also New Zealand astrologer Alan Clay on these Kuiper Belt objects and these dwarf planets, their role in the New Earth becoming. So back to Haumea, one of the strongest archetypes of New Earth. I've mentioned her before, but she's connected to the Hawaiian goddess of fertility, shamanically connected to Earth, really about regenerative energy, a symbol for regeneration, and wild food, that intelligence, that natural intelligence within wild things for not just survival and thriving, but for regeneration. So I love this energy playing a role in this cross. And with Jupiter squaring the full moon, Jupiter expands. It's the planet of expansion. And so it's magnifying, expanding, it's blowing up anything that we experience in this time. And on a deeper level, this lunation really puts into question the way that we view ourselves. So with ego. A lot of times with Leo, we might think about ego as well. There's higher expressions of ego and there's lower expressions of ego. But how does ego impact your ability to show up in your full authenticity? How does it affect your ability to work with, collaborate, and get along with others? Some people obviously have big egos that sort of take over and blind them around certain things, but there's also a lot of people that shun their ego. They see their ego as bad, and they do everything they can to not be perceived as like an egoic person, but to their own detriment, because a lot of times that means that they hide aspects of themselves and they aren't really stepping forward in their full authenticity, which is what Leo is all about. So a T-square, we see this T-square between the Sun, Moon, and Jupiter. And this really offers opportunities to build up self-worth. We may see that there's insecurities that we have. They may have grown over our lifetime, maybe since childhood. Maybe certain things happened in our adult life that then, you know, made us hide or be shameful of something and have sort of these like shadow selves. But this is about honoring, highlighting with this full moon, shining a light on all of that and being really gentle and gracious with yourself and with others, and really considering how fear and shame and judgment and doubt may be driving your behavior or others' behaviors. Those are really important because those fear, judgment, doubt, shame, hate, these are aspects that we meet when we're moving through thresholds in our evolutionary process. And in order to get to the other side, we have to meet those fears, those doubts. I feel like this full moon is really supportive in doing that with us and for us, shining the light of Leo upon those. And we can consider how we can create more emotional and mental stability for ourselves. Like, what do we need to put into place in order for us to do this kind of deep work? Or what do we need to let go of or take out while putting in the work to establish those healthy dynamics and to cultivate mutual respect? Sometimes there are people in our lives that trigger us so much or that have caused so much pain and harm. So bringing a gentle light to yourself within that context and that relationship, and what are the things that you can do to bring more love and healing for yourself? You know, and that's going to look different for each person. We also have Mercury and Mars having a fun little dance together, a conjunction. And so this is like quick mind, quick thinking, quick and sharp tongue. You know, Mars is kind of fiery, right? Mercury, the planet of communication. Mars and Mercury together can feel really strategic, especially in Capricorn. They're doing their dance in Capricorn. So this is very strategic and long-term. While it may feel kind of quick, like you might have some quick downloads and strategizing sessions or your communication patterns, or maybe you just feel a little bit more fiery than usual, but the implications of that can be longer term. So pay attention to that and also to monitor the level of fire, because sometimes Mars can get a little bit too fiery if we're not holding it in the highest way. Coming back to another dwarf planet, this is pointed out by Alan Clay, the New Zealand astrologer I mentioned, and Pam Gregory, who's in the UK, another brilliant astrologer. They talk about this dwarf planet conjuncting Venus in Capricorn. And this dwarf planet is Ixion, Ixion. And Ixion represents a passionate, lawless energy, which, of course, there's high expressions of such, and then there's lower expressions. But when positively placed or in a higher expression, can indicate an ability to bend rules and also question rules, like rules that may not be relevant anymore, or that may not be just or just make sense anymore. It's really about looking at how can we shift, bend, or just like not follow the rules anymore. And also, what can we learn from that particular experience? So once we're on this spiritual path, Ixion represents a passionate spiritual mission. So this, again, can involve going against the grain, going against certain customs or norms that are just no longer a fit of the old order. And that by doing so, by moving forward in a way that is kind of against that grain or in violation of the existing paradigm, we see that it can be a blowing up, but usually a catharsis of some sort, a release and relief, followed by opportunities for a second chance, a new opportunity that presents itself. It's almost like that phoenix energy of something coming to ashes and then something else being reborn. At the ultimate level, Ixion represents the opportunity to define our own rules and live life on our terms, while also respecting the implicit agreements in our relationships and respecting our emotions as well. So there is so much here, I think, when we think about conjunct Venus and in Capricorn, it's kind of like, it's questioning, are we playing by the right rules? Venus is all about values and love and beauty. Can we move forward with love? Are we moving forward with love already in Capricorn? And can we move forward in love? And can we adjust or redefine the rules that we live by, the terms that we live by? Spiritual sovereignty. And this comes back to Leo. This is happening at this Leo new moon. So I think this is amplifying that message. Leo also represents the creative. So it represents that full expression of the self and the blossoming of creativity and creative potential. While Pluto represents death, release, and transformation, that is, of course, always a part of any creative process. We see the death card as such in tarot. It's the compost for what's coming next. So this full moon brings our awareness to this play between destruction and death and creation and life. And it can give us this ability to reflect upon what needs to die. What do we need to let go of, we as a collective and we as individuals, in order to be able to create space for the creative energy, that life force that wants to move through us. I know that I'm experiencing this very much so, in that this every year, the beginning of the year, at the end of the year and very beginning of the year, I do an assessment of like, where is my energy going? Where does it need to go and where do I want it to go? And what do I need to clear out in order to create the space for what I desire to come in? I feel like that's 101 of manifestation as well. You know, this is 101 of like Marie Kondoing your life. These are things that I think we intuitively can tune into, but this full moon and like all the astrological elements and energetics are supporting us extra for this work. So taking a larger view on things, I feel like this full moon is inviting us to tune into the heart, to open our heart to connection, to personal growth, and to sovereignty. Like, what does it mean to step into our self-sovereign life? Truly. And that means we have to look at all areas of our life, but especially as it pertains to the area where this moon is landing, I think that's a good place to start, whichever house this moon is landing in and what areas of your life that's connected to. So really allowing yourself to release and shed anything that's been preventing you from being that best and highest version of yourself, and also holding you back from stepping out into your limelight. It doesn't have to be loud in a loud way, but like stepping out as you. And even if you feel apprehensive about it and how other people will respond, this is a time of really alchemizing that and starting to question some of those beliefs and hesitations. And also looking at how do you cultivate and support a regenerative, you could say, field, like even thinking just agriculturally, a regenerative field or support system, a community to help you thrive and so that we can strive within that container. Through the lens of medical astrology, when we look at Leo, Leo is obviously a fire sign. It's a fixed sign, and the ruling planet is the sun. Leo is connected to the heart, of course, as I've mentioned, in all aspects of the heart, vena cava, the aorta, but also the chest and spine and upper back. So even thinking about posture and supporting your upper back and that very sort of like regal pose that's very Leo-esque. We also see the spine and the back, including the nerves, are connected to Leo as well. Cardiac system in general, circulation and distribution of nutrients and vital energy through the blood. We see when there's imbalance as it pertains to the tissue state, Leo tends to be hot, right? So fire sign, hot, excitation, exciting, stimulating of the tissues, and sometimes to the detriment of the tissues, or they get too hot, which can lead to dryness, dry and atrophy. When there's too much dryness, it could lead to atrophy of the tissue. So that's something to pay attention to if you have a tendency toward heat, overheating, excitation, inflammation. Check to see the energetics and how this Leo full moon might be impacting you. And some of the common imbalances that we might see connected to Leo in particular, if there is issues connected to Leo, we see heart issues, of course. So any kind of cardiac issue or complaint, we see heart disease, hypertension, palpitations. We can also see heartburn or a weak circulation, a weak pulse, nervousness, especially around the heart area. We have, of course, like a whole neuronal system connected, plugged into the heart, which is why the heart is essentially a brain, one of the brains of our bodies and perceivers. So we can have issues in that area as well. We can also see dizziness and vertigo. Fevers can come up. So that's sort of like fiery, inflammatory situation with fevers and feeling feverish and inflammation in general. And then we could see back aches, back pain, spinal complaints. And sometimes in the more extreme cases, we might see like scoliosis or diseases of the spine. When we think about bringing in remedies for an imbalanced or a weakened Leo, our go-tos would be cooling herbs, cooling foods, sedatives, and water-rich foods and herbs, very moistening types of foods and herbs and tonics. Cardiotonics, of course, two well-known herbal cardiotonics. Any kind of water therapy can be really delicious here too. And also looking at and working with our creative energy and fire, how can we cultivate more space for our creativity and also leadership and alignment in that? Maybe we might feel like we're not in the leadership role of our lives. We're not self-empowered, and those can really hamper our health in a physical way, especially if there's a lot of Leo energy going on. So bringing in not just herbs that I'll be mentioning in the foods, but also practices that really amplify that solar energy within you and that shining your light. So this could be rituals of the fire ceremony. Hello, come join us today. But also sun rituals. So communing with the sun, early morning communion with the sun is probably one of the most health promoting things that we could do in addition to spiritual alignment. So highly recommend you do that. And it doesn't necessarily mean sun gazing, but I think that's a beautiful process. But literally just connecting with the sun, witnessing it, connecting it through your heart. If you could watch a sunrise, like those are all super healing and very connected to Leo remedies. And anything that stokes your creative fire too. So this could be performance and dance or theater, singing, and any type of heart meditation, of course, like I mentioned. When we're looking at herbs that are supportive for Leo or connected to Leo, if you want to bring out that solar energy, you want to support that sort of like solar logos that we have within as sun beings, then sunflower and St. Joan's wort and calendula are some of the top ones. Those are like the sunflowers and plants that are so powerful in rekindling that inner fire within us. They each have their individual way of doing that. And I think that it really depends on what it is that you're looking for in terms of healing on some deeper levels and maybe your tissue state and specific ailments that you're dealing with, which you would actually commune with. When we're looking at remedy herbs for Leo, we see hawthorn. So any herbs that are connected to the heart or have an affinity for the cardiac system, the hawthorn berries is going to be probably the top. I would also say motherwort, Leonoris cardiaca. I mean, that in its name, in its Latin name, is heart of a lion or lion heart. As mentioned, motherwort absolutely has an affinity for the energetic and physical heart and brings balance and sort of harmony to that particular body system. But it also does for the blood and the menstrual cycle. So with moon time and with the womb, energetically speaking, it's really supportive for rhythm and rhythmic growth. So the heart and the cycles of the body, especially when it comes to fertility, you could really see that in its affinities. And this is on a body, mind, and soul level. One of its most well-known uses is as a cardiotonic and what's called a tropho-restorative, meaning that it helps to balance and nourish the system that it supports, so the cardiovascular system as a whole. And it traditionally is used all across the globe and really in support, not just of the heart and circulation, but as I mentioned, the uterus, the womb, and hormones, as well as digestive disorders and anxiousness, nervousness, and so much more. Judith Hill, one of my teachers in medical astrology, and I had an incredible interview with Judith. If you have not heard it, it's probably my favorite of all time, like one of my favorites of the almost 300 episodes that we've had on the Feed Your Wild podcast. And I recommend you listen, you tune into that one. We have that linked up below in the show notes. I learned from her about the work of Nicholas Culpepper. And through her, I found this quote by Nicholas Culpepper that says, "There is no better herb to drive melancholy vapors from the heart, to strengthen it and make a merry, cheerful, blithe soul than this herb." While there is clearly a connection to Leo and the sun through Leo, this particular herb is ruled by the planet Venus. And Venus is sort of an expression of solar energy. So they are connected here. And in terms of what it represents through that connection, we see strength. And you also see strength as the strength card. So Leo, one of the tarot cards connected to Leo, is the strength card. That strength card represents connecting to that sovereign self and that the courage, so cœur being connected, the French word for heart, plugging into that courage to be yourself and to also weather any storm. We see this in connection to the creatrix within, especially when it comes to fertility, the birth, and creativity, the creative life force and process through that creatrix energy, whether or not you have a womb. Now, there's also a component here about inner trust. And I think this is a really key piece when you come into the process of sharing your creation, like even allowing for creativity to come through, but also in stepping into your fullness and true authenticity of who you are and showing yourself. You have to have cultivated a level of trust, deep trust for yourself in the process in order to be able to do that. Many cultures have used motherwort to honor the goddesses of fertility because of the herb's association with Venus. It's also associated with the moon and in that way connected to fertility as well. It was used and continues to be used as a protection plant. So being planted around homes or hung in different parts of the home or outside of the home to keep unwanted guests, unseen unwanted guests as well. And motherwort was either smoked or burned to use for smoke cleansing. In terms of its herbal actions, we see motherwort as innervating, so really supportive for the nervous system, the nerves. It's also antidepressive, antispasmodic. This is how it is also supportive for the heart. It's an emmenagogue, which means that it helps to facilitate menstruation if there's been stuckness or stagnation in that area. And in terms of its energetics, it's cooling and calming. So it's supportive for bringing alleviation to the heat. It's incredibly bitter, so to take it as a tea is not the most favored way of taking in this herb. Probably bring in motherwort in the form of a tincture. Depending on who you work with and what your body desires and how it interplays with motherwort, many herbalists actually find motherwort to be one of those remedies that is really effective in lower drop doses. And that's what I have found too. And that's the way that I have worked with motherwort. I've heard herbalists describe motherwort as the remedy for people who just need a hug. And it brings that sense of TLC and just presence and care to our bodies and our spirit that I think many of us will really need right now, to be honest, but that we absolutely feel we need when we're feeling some anxiety and nervousness and heat and stimulation that we can't just quite get a hold of. In our fire ceremony today, we are going to be attuning to rose, which is another one of my absolute favorites, ruled by Venus as well, but absolutely connected to the heart and to Leo in that way. There's a lot of parallels and components in connection to the heart remedies. And rose has this beautiful ability to open the heart, and it really allows individuals to experience deeper connection with themselves and others and foster a sense of empathy and compassion, but with healthy boundaries, right? With the thorns of the rose. That's part of its spiritual healing properties, has the unique ability to soothe the mind and balance the emotions. It's also very cooling energy in terms of its energetics. So it makes it really supportive for quenching any fire and also for those seeking inner peace and harmony. And it's also really helpful for blood purification too, to help eliminate toxins from the bloodstream. And it has this overall cleansing effect that contributes to improved overall health and vitality. As a cooling remedy and a beautiful heart remedy, it also helps to alleviate anxiety and reduce inflammation. So we are going to be working with rose in particular in our ceremony. If you are interested in joining us and attuning to this beautiful plant, and you don't have to have rose in terms of like a herb concoction or powder or anything, or even the physical flower with you in order to attune to rose, we're going to be doing so on the spiritual plane energetically. But if you do, that is also welcomed. You can bring that along with you into our ceremony. And I cannot wait to commune with you very soon. So this episode went way over than what I intended, but I think I just got caught up in the momentum of all of the shifts that are happening. I hope that this information and these insights are supportive for you, are motivating, are empowering, inspiring in any way. I would love to hear how all of this is landing. You can DM me, send me a message over on Instagram. I'm at Wildly Rooted. And again, tune into our fire ceremony today, lit, our full moon in Leo fire ceremony and activation, and check out that limited time special offer of joining us inside of the Wildly Intuitive Practitioner Pathway for 3 months at a fraction of the time and cost. I look forward to connecting with you and reading your application. With that, full moon blessings and sending you so much love in these revolutionary times. And until next time, be well.